Staying cool this summer has been a challenge, as you can probably tell from your utility bills. But what if there was a way to lower your bill and reduce the strain on the power grid? You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to discuss strategies for balancing electricity supply and demand are Ohio State Representative Roy Klopfenstein, a Haviland Republican and president of Third Coast Strategies, and a former commissioner for the Michigan Public Service Commission, Tremaine Phillips. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Great to be here and looking forward to the conversation.
Yes, thank you so much. It's not often when you get a call to talk about demand response, so very excited to talk with you.
Well, we're excited to have you both here. Tremaine, the federal government reported record-breaking energy demand in July. What kind of strain does that put on the grid?
Well, certainly it is putting a strain on the grid, as well as putting a strain on consumer utility bills. Over the last several years, since 2021, we've seen residential utility bills increase by almost 30% here in the U.S., and that is causing stress for consumers, not only residential consumers, but for industrial and commercial consumers as well. And what the representative has proposed here through legislation in terms of this demand response program and the ability for utilities to voluntarily work with Public Utility Commission of Ohio to have approved demand response programs and voluntarily allow for utility customers to participate in those programs, it puts the power back in consumers' hands in terms of being able to afford them the opportunity to have better control over their utility bills and to have better control over not only their personal utility bills, but the affordability and the reliability of the grid at large.
Representative Klopfenstein, Tremaine just referenced your legislation. Can you tell us a little bit more about what your legislation would do, how it would address that strain on the grid and on pocketbooks?
Well, certainly I'm more than happy to discuss the bill because I'm quite passionate about it. But the first thing is, and it says it in the bill's title, but it seems like consumers do miss this, but it's a voluntary demand response program. And when we look at demand response, it's already being used in Ohio. One of the larger distribution utilities has somewhere between 17,000 and 18,000 customers on demand response programs. And personally, I'm on a rural co-op, and most rural co-ops have some type of demand response program. Also, we've had a radio control in our electric hot water heater probably going on 40 years. And when you look at today's electric bills and you look at today's expansion of what the demand is, people need to understand when there is a huge amount of electric and everybody's got more than they need, demand response may be unimportant to the consumer. It's always important to the suppliers. In a perfect world, you would have a constant demand 24/7. What reality is when we all get up in the morning, that 7 o'clock to 8:30 time frame, we have a what I'll call a morning peak, and then you have a huge trough of demand. And then that after work peak demand, or that hot afternoon, which tends to be where you get the most peak alerts, is huge. And as we look at the grid, and we have studied grids across the country and overseas, whether you're in an area that has a lot of EV vehicles or not, EV vehicles are becoming more popular, and as they add strain to the grid, it just becomes a really complex issue to level off this demand. These programs put power back into the hands of the consumer. It's voluntary. We've seen some programs that are flat out incredible. And when I say incredible, there are times of the day where generation, between the generation and the distribution network, they just want to get rid of the power. And there are places that, because they are controlling and monitoring when they charge their EV vehicle, they're getting them charged basically for nothing. So the future is in managing the demand. The future is being in control of your bill a little more. And as we look at the cost of building additional power, and we look at the cost of transmission and distribution, none of it is going to get cheaper. And when you have to build it for the peak of the day, it's a really inefficient system. And we as consumers pay for that inefficiency. So, but I want to stress, it's voluntary.
I want to ask you to explain a little bit more, Representative Klopfenstein, what demand response means. I mean, what does this mean a utility could do if there is peak demand and they're kind of overwhelmed with the needs on the grid if a consumer opts into this?
And I will speak where I'm coming from on where I purchase my electric, because that's frankly the one I'm most familiar with, because I keep pestering them and asking them more questions. But in my case, or our rural co-op that we have here, they have a electric control that is wired into your hot water heater. And at peak demand, they will shut off your hot water heater for 8 to 12 minutes in a 30-minute period. And I will tell you, in 40 years, we've never run out of hot water that was from the utility managing the peak load. It operates much the same way on a heat pump or air conditioning, is that they will go have a radio control on your air conditioning compressor, and it will let the fan circulate the air in your home, but they will literally shut the compressor off, kick it out for 8 to 12 minutes in a 30-minute period. Many, many homeowners don't even know it's happening or don't even know when it happens. But it's part of managing the load to not get over that peak demand threshold that you have. And when you talk about the demand response, if you could trim the top of that demand in that 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. at night and put it back in the middle of the day, you know, we're the most advanced grids, they're pre-cooling homes. They are putting off charging an EV vehicle. They are doing really some quite creative things to raise the trough and lower the peak. But in most cases that I'm aware of, they don't touch the thermostat. They touch the compressor in the heat pump. And in most cases, people don't even know what's going on. If they did, if you're having a birthday party with 45-year-olds and you need all the cool air you can get, you can override it in most cases. So cool technology coming. It's, in the end, will save costs to not only the consumers, but it will help businesses also.
I'm glad you brought up the thermostat. That was going to be my next question for you, because I didn't know if they could go in, and if you're somebody who keeps your house at 65, if they could say, no, 68 is cool enough for you, but it doesn't get that detailed, it sounds like.
Well, I know there are Nest thermostats, and we have had them in our family, not personally in my home, where you can control your Nest thermostat if you're on a trip and turn it up when you're going to get home. I would say that's not the way that most electric distribution companies would ever handle turning your heat up or down. And if you can remember clear back in the 70s when the president said, you know, turn your temperature up a couple of degrees in the summer so you take less power overall. Most demand response programs are trying to manage the peak demand. And the peak demand is primarily that 3 to 8 time frame in the afternoon.
Tremaine, Representative Klopfenstein just mentioned that this is an opt-in program. It's voluntary. How important is that aspect of programs like this and making them work?
It's incredibly important, so much so that the majority, if not all, of the demand response programs that you see across the country, and I think that's something to note here, these are tried and true programs, as the representative mentioned, have been around for decades in many states. And so the voluntary aspect is incredibly important. And I'll talk a little bit about my experience in Michigan. I served as an appointee to the Michigan Public Service Commission, and in that capacity, I had the responsibility of regulating the state's electricity, natural gas, and telecommunications utilities. And during that time, I reviewed and approved probably a dozen or so utility demand response programs for industrial customers, as well as small commercial and residential customers, like what the representative has put forth. Again, what we would like to emphasize is that these programs and what has been proposed in House Bill 427 are voluntary as to whether a utility develops a program for approval by the Public Utility Commission of Ohio, the state of Ohio's Energy Regulatory Authority, and voluntary as to whether a consumer would like to participate in the program. Even once a consumer participates in a program, a consumer will have the ability to override the utility's actions and opt out during an event. While I was in Michigan, I not only reviewed and approved such programs, but I also was a participant in my utility's smart thermostat demand response program. And there were only a handful of times a year when we were called upon to participate in a demand response event. And I liked having the confidence and the option that at any point in time, I could hit the eject button and suspend my participation in that program. But lastly, I want to emphasize that the potential for consumer benefits here are real. Not only are there financial benefits for consumers, the potential for tens of millions of dollars in savings for consumers during a time of unprecedented inflationary energy prices in this country, but demand response programs like what the representative has proposed also have the ability to enhance the reliability of the grid, reducing the potential for utility blackouts and brownouts during times when the grid is most under stress, and have the ability to reduce the impacts of our energy system on public health and the environment. If demand response programs reduce a utility's need to use peaker plants, and peaker plants are the natural gas, the oil, the diesel-fueled energy generation facilities that provide our grid power during the greatest energy demand periods of the year, these peaker plants are among the highest cost and most acute polluting energy resources that we have on the grid. So demand response programs reducing the need to fire up these peaker plants during the heat of the summer will improve consumer affordability, grid reliability, and ultimately quality of life, not only for program participants, but this is probably the best part, they will provide benefits for all residents, all consumers in the state of Ohio.
We're talking in this recorded interview about proposed legislation aimed at balancing electricity supply and demand in Ohio. We did invite Duke Energy to participate in this discussion. They're reviewing the bill. They said they couldn't participate at this time, but they did send us a statement. It says, quote, "We at Duke Energy Ohio will always advocate for durable and strategic energy policies that promote affordable and reliable energy for our natural gas and electric customers across Ohio and beyond. We are currently reviewing this legislation to assess the impact on our customers. In the meantime, we thank Representative Kloppenstein for raising these important issues and for all his productive work on energy policy in Ohio." They also shared some resources with us, and we've got those on our website. Representative Kloppenstein, would customers get a financial incentive to participate in this? We've kind of alluded to that, but what's in this financially for customers?
I think there's two buckets of benefits, and one is seen and one is unseen. The first bucket is what people attract people to the program. And many of these programs have an upfront sign-in sort of bonus, and some of them have a per event bonus. And it's not a huge sum of money, but every little bit helps. But I think the unseen benefit, which is the high cost of peaker plants, that energy is the most expensive energy that either the co-op or the distribution utility will buy. So anytime they can not purchase the most expensive, it lowers the cost of the service for everyone. And the unseen benefit, I actually think, is greater, but as being good Americans wanting to save some money, it is the participation fee. And in some cases, it's a per event payment that gets credited to your bill. Yes, that's part of it. And I think as the cost of generation, the cost of transmission, and the cost of distribution goes up, it becomes more valuable. And whether we call it load balancing or leveling the peaks and valleys, either way, anytime you can do that, the system becomes more efficient And at least in the co-ops, they pass those savings on to the customers, and the managed monopolies of the distribution, you know, they watch and manage how much they make as far as profit for their shareholders. But it is a management tool that through improvements in electronics and the way we can manage things, it's the wave of the future, and it's going to get more and more technical, and it's going to do some really great things for us as consumers.
Representative Klopfenstein, you had mentioned before that if you opt into this, if this becomes the law and you say, hey, I want to be part of this, but it's a peak time and you've got a house full of little kids and you can't have that air conditioner turned off even for a minute, that you can kind of reverse that action. What happens if the customer is always changing it back? Can the utility essentially kick people out of the program if they never agree to these, you know, to what the utility needs to happen?
I've not looked at every program. I know some programs you have so many times you can opt out before you're excused from the program. I've seen it where because of the smart meter technology, there will be a text sent out and says, hey, if you can reduce your use between X and Y time, this is what it means off your bill. I mean, there are some really creative ways, and I just think it's how the companies market it, how the companies build trust with the customer that saves them money, and they are still in control for that five-year-old birthday party.
Tremaine, give us some perspective on how a program like this gets launched and implemented. What's involved with that?
Going back to your previous question, yes, in terms of a consumer opting out, that could prevent their participation in a program in a subsequent year, but there's no financial or other implications or penalties on that consumer deciding to opt out or not participate in a demand response event. The utility does need, in aggregate, looking at all the participants in a program, some sense of what the potential load reduction is of those programs. So that is in part why you want to discourage folks that decide to opt in from then deciding to opt out in terms of every time when an event is called. There are no financial, no penalties associated with a consumer opting out. And usually how it would be structured is that they may be prevented from participating in such a program in future years. Marketing and education along these lines is just incredibly important. It's important to, again, have customers understand what these programs are, understand that, again, they are entirely voluntary, and help to have customers understand what the benefits of their participation looks like. You know, this is to what the representative mentioned, this is a change in how consumers interact with their utility system. The utility system has, for many decades, and consumers' interactions with the utility grid has often been like television. It's one way. You are just consuming electrons like you would consume content from television. But in the future, and in the very near future, and really it's a reality in many states, your participation, your ability to work with your utility to have a positive impact on the grid will be more like the internet, where you are able to consume content as well as sell and release content. And so in the future, we're going to have the ability for not only demand response participants, but those who own energy storage systems, those who own electric vehicles or rooftop photovoltaic systems or solar systems, they are going to be able to participate, have the utilities aggregate the potential of either those individuals reducing their load or pushing out electrons onto the grid. And this is what many are calling in the energy space the concept of a virtual power plant. You're going to be able to have the ability to increase affordability for customers, increase grid reliability, and reduce those negative externalities on public health and on the environment from our utility system by having everyone be dynamic participants in the sustainable operation and affordable operation of the utility system.
Representative Klopfenstein, what challenges do you see ahead in passing this legislation? Do you foresee any challenges in terms of how it will be received by other lawmakers or by consumers?
You know, the one of the things that was mentioned is education. After you explain it to folks, and there's a lot of legislators up to speed on it, it will have broad bipartisan support. At the moment, there is certainly some pushback from maybe some erroneous Facebook posts that they're going to control everybody's thermostat, which is not the case. That's a voluntary opt-in program, and it has additional oversight. And many people don't even realize that it's already an option, at least with maybe one of the big distribution utilities. There's thousands of customers on it. And while it may be bigger in other states, it's coming. This technology is coming, and it gives us the ability to lower costs and be more reliable. Every customer wants that. The education, you know, with a prior energy bill here in Ohio from 5 or 6 years ago, there's some real trust issues with utilities, and quite possibly, I understand that. So the relationship where you have a two-way relationship with your utility, you have the ability to be in control of that. If it was a mandated program, I would personally would be a part of it, and I think it would be dead on arrival. But when it gives the choice to the consumer whether to participate, that option to opt in, and gives you control, it's coming, and it will be for the betterment of Ohio.
Well, I've been talking with Ohio State Representative Roy Klopfenstein, a Haviland Republican and president of Third Coast Strategies, and a former commissioner for the Michigan Public Service Commission, Tremaine Phillips. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez Cornu. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.